It's good to be with you today. I appreciate that, this opportunity. I've been looking forward to this for quite some time. Thomas had tried to get me to preach before, but he waited till the last minute, and I was booked for somewhere else. But this time he called way early, and so that's a good thing. And so this morning I want to give something that maybe you have done before. How many of you have ever been to a doctor just for a checkup? Nothing was wrong, you were just getting checked up. You ever done that? Sure you have. Well, this morning, I'm going to give you a faith checkup, just to see how you're doing. And I want to start off with a question. And this is the question. Are you going to go where Jesus leads, or are you going to get stuck on how to do it? Interesting question, isn't it? Now, when it comes to your part, there's no one else in the world who can answer that question except you, because you and God need to work on that. But before you answer that question, I'd like to take you on a little journey. Do you like journeys? Like to go places, do things? Well, I'm going to take you on that little journey. In the Gospels, there are two miracles that show up in all four of them. And the feeding of the 5,000 just happens to be one of them. And I just love that miracle. And so what I want to do, first of all, I want to pull together some of the background that Matthew, Mark, and Luke give us that John doesn't give us. First of all, from Matthew and Mark's gospel, we have two separate reasons of why Jesus and his disciples were going to go out into the wilderness. Number one, it was because they were grief-stricken. You see, they had just received some news that Herod had beheaded their dear John the Baptist, and they were upset. Well, I want to ask you something. Have you ever been sad? Of course you have. Have you ever been grief-stricken? Of course you have. Have you ever gotten some really, really bad news? Of course you have. We were talking about news today, bad news today, weren't we? Well, even though visits from our friends are nice when those things go wrong, at some point, you may just want some time alone. Just leave me alone. I want to be myself. I want to go off over here. I want to pray. I want to think. I want to cry. I want to do whatever. Well, Jesus understood that. And he determined that what his disciples needed really was just some downtime, some time away from other people. Some time just to be a group, to be family, some time to reflect. Then Mark gives us another reason for Jesus and his disciples going into the wilderness. They were absolutely exhausted from ministry. I mean, it was a busy time. And it was just breaking their backs. And it says in Mark's gospel that so many people were coming and going that at times the disciples did not even have time to eat. No time to rest. So they were exhausted. So Jesus tells them, you're going to go with me away for a while, and we're going to get some rest. And I think that made those disciples pretty happy. Has anybody here ever been exhausted? You were just so tired, you couldn't wait to get in your easy chair or your bed and get that nap, or I like to call going to sleep at night my overnight nap. But that's what it was. Sometimes you just feel like anyone and everyone is just demanding a piece of you, and you want to just rest a while. You want to be left alone. Your energy is just absolutely zapped. Then I think you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? And Mark says, that's why Jesus and his disciples were headed off into the wilderness. And so they finally get there. Oh my goodness, but who else is there? 5,000 men, and that's not even counting the women and the children. Now, if you were looking to some downtime, would you have been a little bit annoyed when it looked like that just was not going to happen? Would you be, maybe? You know, I have a lot of empathy for those guys because I know when my heart is broken or when my back is breaking, I just want to chill for a while. But it doesn't always work out that way, does it? The phone rings, we get that text, someone wants another piece of us, don't they? Well, according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the disciples were there and they were watching all of this unfold. And Jesus' response, I think, is different than theirs. Jesus' response was to have some compassion on that crowd, that 5,000 men plus the women and children. Now, I don't think that the disciples were exactly feeling compassion at that moment. I think maybe they were feeling just a little bit frustrated. You ever felt that way? I know I have. Maybe they were a little annoyed. Maybe they were was even building a little bit of anger. I was looking toward this downtime and look at all these stupid people. I don't know if they said it that way, but that's why I just said it. Maybe they resented it. Maybe there was some bitterness involved. Maybe there was some confusion. But I'm pretty sure they were not feeling compassion. But you know, when you look at Jesus, Jesus is always about compassion. And so guess what it's going to be? The way Jesus wants it. Compassion. Now, after a while, the people were hungry. But I think that it's interesting that Jesus does two things before he's going to get the crowd fed. The first thing he does is heal those people who are sick. He says they're bringing all kinds of people to him. That's why they followed him to the wilderness in the first place, wasn't it? They had problems and they wanted them solved. The second thing he wants to do is he wants to spend some time just teaching them. You see, to Jesus, these people were like sheep without a shepherd. They were lost, they were scared, and they were vulnerable. They were people oppressed by the kingdom of Rome and the kingdom of Herod. And those kingdoms weren't the kind of places you want to be. They were whimsical and unpredictable and harsh. Almost sounds a little bit like the kingdom we're in at times, doesn't it? And so these people needed hope. And Jesus told them that there's not just a good kingdom, there's a great kingdom, there's a holy kingdom, there's a precious kingdom that's going to be coming soon, and that they would be more than welcome to just be a part of that. That was some good news. That, my friends, is compassion. But then, it starts to get late, and the disciples notice that they're in the middle of nowhere. In this wilderness, they wondered, where on earth are these people going to get some food to eat? Well, according to three of the Gospels, the disciples approach Jesus and basically say something like this. You know, we really like these people, but Jesus, I think it's time to wrap things up. Because I know they're getting hungry, and so what we need to do is we want to send them off to a town where they can go to McDonald's or Cracker Barrel or wherever. They can get something to eat anyway on their way home. But what does Jesus say to them? I have a better plan. You feed them. What? Well, that's where John's account is going to come into play. Now, I'm going to read you what John has to say from John chapter 6, the first 15 verses. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because, why? Well, they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. And now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. And so lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? Now he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. But Philip answered him, "Why, are you kidding me? 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each one to even have a little bit, maybe even a bite." And so one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what is that for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." And now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. And Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." And perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And so as I read that, I found it very interesting. One thing I realized is Jesus knew that those people were hungry. And so he asked Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread for all these people?" But then John provides this little side note, and I love this. You see, Jesus said that only because he was going to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. It's kind of like when you go to get that physical checkup. Sometimes we don't know, and he says, "We're going to run this test. We're going to have a blood test. We're going to take this x-ray. We're going to do this. We're going to do that." You see, what we need to understand is that when Philip answers, he answers with the wrong answer. I don't know what kind of tone of voice he used. It might have gone something like this. "Are you kidding me, Jesus? Come on. 8 months' wages wouldn't even buy enough for everyone to even have one single bite." Now that little conversation between Jesus and Philip is one of the hinge pieces of this entire story. I want you to get that. It hinges, because without that, you're not going to be able to have your good faith checkup. You see, Jesus is asking a question on one level, but Philip then answers it on a completely different level. Jesus, you see, had asked a where question, a faith question, but Philip answers with a how response. How are we going to get that done? A lack of faith question. Okay. Here's the lesson I want us to take away from this story today. I wonder what Jesus would say about our faith, about the gathering here at the Elkhart East Christian Church. Are you only willing to do things that we can accomplish on our own without God's help? I think that sometimes we miss out on Christ's invitation to join Him in God's mission for a world that is broken, for a world that needs help. We pray for them, but then we stop there. We act like nothing's going to happen. We ask that how question and get stuck there. Sometimes we get so hung up on the logistics that we just sit around and wait for someone to do something. Sometimes we wonder, where on earth are we going to find body to stand up and just say yes to God? Sometimes we wonder, does anybody have enough faith to trust Jesus and get the big risk in place? Is anybody going to be willing to join in on God's mission? And we hear those questions and we reduce it to, how are we going to pay for it? How are we going to find volunteers? How are we going to have the right facility? Well, I love what it says in Proverbs 19:21. It says this, many are the plans in a man's heart. We're good at plans, aren't we? Oh, if I were in charge, I'd do this, 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 and this. But it goes on to say this, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And so here's the problem. And we're pretty good at identifying problems, aren't we? When we fixate on the how question, what we're really doing is showing a lack of faith. Reduced to how clever we are in our resources, in our capacities, in our budgets. But you know what? I don't think that's the kind of blessing that Jesus is going to bless. Now, I'm not saying the question shouldn't be asked. Of course they should. But I'm saying that we just simply cannot afford to get hung up on it. You see, when God asks a question of us, we should see in it what He wants us to do, what He has in mind. He might just be testing us. You know, I think that's a good idea. Why don't you do something? And so, yes, sometimes we miss kingdom of God work simply because we ask the how question instead of the where question. Here's a better response. When asked the where question, we answer it this way. Here I am. Use me. Now, in the story of the feeding of the 5,000, again, Jesus asks this where question. And it's interesting that there's only one kid in the whole group who's willing to stand up and say, here I am, use me. Now, good old Andrew, he still wants to bicker over the how. But then Jesus isn't really interested in that kind of conversation. He's got what he needs. He's got one boy willing to step up and make a sacrifice of what he has for the sake of what Jesus is up to. All Jesus needs ever is one person who's willing to stand up and say and make a sacrificial move toward it. That's it. He doesn't need 20 people. He doesn't even say, okay, if we can just get 10 more, we'll get started here. You know, it's amazing. Truly amazing. What will happen if just one person will show their faith in God and they'll take what they have and just give it? That's an act of trust that is so important. God has given us, each and every one of us, something that we have that we can use for His glory, for His honor. And so we need that kind of trust. Now, it's not that Jesus doesn't want every single one of us involved. He does. Romans talks about that in chapter 12. But you see, if there's only one that will actually demonstrate their faith, God's going to do some incredible things with that. But here's how it might go with us sometimes. I don't know about you, how many of you enjoy eating? Now, I love to eat. It sometimes shows. But you know, if I would have been that one kid in a hoard of 5,000, and I had enough foresight to actually pack my lunch, I think I might have been making an excuse so I could just slip out of there quietly and eat my delicious bread and fish. But you know what? This boy gets it. Jesus started with that one boy's willingness, and the kingdom really breaks out after Jesus thanks God and blesses that small lunch, and the disciples then step up to do the work, to distribute the food. You see, the people get to see a visible demonstration of what Jesus had just been teaching them. You see, the kingdom only needs two things. It needs someone to be willing to say to God, I'm in on this. And then they start serving. That's it. That's all it takes. And so are you willing to serve? How's your faith when asked the where question? Are you getting hung up on the how? Or are you going to say, you sent me, I'm going. You see, whenever I see service, whenever I see people who are willing to give up the little they have for the thing that God has in His head to do, the kingdom of God moves forward. I think of Mary, that young teenager who was given this thing, and she said, the angel has said, you're going to be the Son of the Most High. You're going to bear Him in your body. And you know what her response was? I know that's impossible, but because you said it, I believe it. And so what we need in this church, and I'm looking out at a bunch of servants, here's what I have. And when you bless what I have, great things are going to happen. You see, when people start saying yes to God, instead of making excuses by reducing the kingdom of God and His work to our strategy, to our capacity, to our resources, the church is not going to move forward. Just saying yes to God, as impractical as it may seem at times, we need three things to happen. And it's going to happen when you stand up and say yes to God. Number one, everybody's going to get what they need. Everybody. The text says that everybody there got as much to eat as they wanted. Number two, we're going to find out that nothing is going to get wasted. All those resources that you have, whether it be money or talent or abilities, who knows? There's going to be leftovers. There's going to be more than you need. And that's what we need. Number three, there's more than we actually need. It says that there were actually 12 basketfuls left. Sometimes we wonder, how come those people got everything and we don't? Well, maybe it's because one of you didn't stand up and say, here's what I have. I'm going to use it for your glory. Now, I know I've said that, but now the opposite is also true. If we are going to live with that, I just don't think we have enough mentality. If we have that lack of faith, if we actually resist the where question of God, we're going to be chronically dissatisfied. Nothing's ever going to be right. We're never going to have what we really want. We're going to waste a lot. We're going to never have enough to go around. And so which mentality do you think that this church, this gathering, should pick? It's your choice. God won't pick for you. Oh, He'll ask the where question, but if you're going to ask the how question and get stuck there, think about it. I believe that Jesus Christ, through this miracle, is speaking to us as a church. And not just this gathering, all over. You know, I think that I've seen some incredible ministries that have already opened up through a here's what I have spirit. I've seen it time and time and time again. And I think that it can happen here again. It's happened here before, and it can happen again. However, I don't think that we've even begun to do all that God has in mind to do. And I don't know that we ever will until we say, here's what I have. I give it to you, God, for your glory, for your honor. And so I think that this week, every single one of us, if we'll really look and we'll listen for that where question from God, is going to have opportunities where Jesus is going to confront us personally. He's going to ask us that where question. Friends, when He does that, don't reduce it to the how question and then get stuck there saying we don't have enough. It may seem very impractical from a human point of view, but if that's what you reduce it to at the outset, you may miss the whole thing, the whole great and wondrous and marvelous thing that God has in mind. You know, I thought about it. What if that boy hadn't stepped forward? Where would that story have gone? Would we have even have heard the story? And so, my friends, we need to have a heart of faith. The faith that kid have and say, it doesn't make much sense to me, but here I am. Here's what I have. And the more that you pour into that, the more you're going to get what you need. And nothing is going to be wasted. As a matter of fact, I guarantee you, because God guarantees it, that nothing is going to be wasted. Now, I'd love to say that this story ends the way we would like it to, that people see the power of God at work and they go home and they start doing some incredible things. But it doesn't end that way, does it? People are so impressed with what Jesus does that they say, let's make Him king by force. We'll never be hungry again. We'll never be sick again. They want Him to be what they have in mind for Him to be, not what God intends for Him to be. Unfortunately, I see that own tendency in my own flesh sometimes. I think that Jesus is around to do what I have in mind to do, what I want Him to do, to go with my plans instead of His purpose. Now, I want to point out in this story that Jesus is not really much interested in that kind of kingship. Rather, He comes to people, men and women just like you, every single day, and He asks this question. Where can I find one person willing to join me in what I'm doing to feed this starving world? Who knows? Maybe it's the person you looked at in your mirror this morning. Maybe it's you that He looks at when He asks that question. And so in wrapping up, so often we have plenty of faith in ourselves, or maybe a lack of faith in ourselves. But we need to resolve to have faith in Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, in the One who faced death and died on a cross and resurrected on the third day, and even now is preparing a place for us. And so when we're asked that where question, and He's going to ask it, we're going to say, here I am. I don't have much, but what I have I give to You. I don't know how it's going to work, but then I don't need to know, because You do. You already know what You have in mind to do. And so here's what I have to give. Use me. Send me. Okay. With all that in mind that I've spoken of today, the doctor's finally going to ask the question that I asked when I started. Are you going to go where Jesus leads? Or are you going to get stuck in the how to do it? Let's pray. Almighty God, I come before You in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I admit very freely that nothing is impossible for You. Nothing. And yet so many times, God, I try to lean on myself and instead of leaning on You. I look out at these dear people today, and I know every single one of them has been given a gift of Your Spirit. And because it's Your Spirit, because that Spirit is God, He's going to work in us and through us, and great things are going to happen. I believe that with my life because you said it. And so I ask blessing upon them. I ask that they'll examine their own minds and their own hearts. And then that they'll come away and say, don't have much, but what I've got, it's yours. I ask blessing upon each and every one. And I pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I pray with total confidence. Amen.